Some people's job nowadays is to complain and be heard and be offended and try to get things cancelled.
My problem with cancelled is, inherently what it means is you are now ousted from our society.
We now just cancel everyone, and what that's going to do is it's going to devalue progress. It's going to stop people from wanting to change because they'll be forever cast aside because of their one sin from the past.
That's right, your boy John Michael back inside the new JMG studios here in actually beautiful Lewis Center, Ohio right now. Like the weather out there is amazing.
It is. It's perfect.
And with me as always, the good vitamin C, the Miss Beautiful. Carly, how are we?
I'm good. I'm eating this place up.
Right. The new studio is a vibe, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like we could be in here and not know if it's day, night.
Yeah.
February.
I know next week when JoJo's here, we won't know what time it is. It'll be like super, you know. Anyways, this episode is always brought to you by Timeless Skin Solutions. They got two locations, one in Dublin, one in New Albany, which is the one I go to. See my girl Allison out there. She injects this beautiful forehead of mine. But lines, wrinkles, scar removal, sagging skin, sunspots, rosacea. Remember last, I was like, what is that? enlarged pores. They do lip, right?
Oh yeah,
the good vitamin C next Friday, right?
Oh yeah,
next Friday she gets her 4K plan. You get your lips, get your Botox.
Oof. I'm gonna zoom in
after that day. Please put the 4K camera on. Anyway, 614-799-5100. Tell them that John Michael CTC JMG hit you up. You know. So go see my girl D in New Albany. I love her. She's everything. She literally is. You come in and she's always like smiling. She's always happy.
Aww.
Allison, the lady who does my injections, because you know, like my five head takes like 50. You know, it's like we're in there for like 4 hours. No, we're not. But they just take care of me. They're always super polite. They're always super nice. They know what they're talking about. So anyways, time to Skin Solutions, Dublin, Ohio. New Albany, Ohio, 614-799-5100. Anyways, today, I mean, I feel like every episode gets a little more like juicier, you know? It gets a little more like, we get into these topics that are kind of like, should you touch them type of things, you know? And like, we got that manipulation one that went absolutely nutty. By the way, thank you to everybody who listens because you guys are just killing it on the downloads and streams and everything. We feel the love. I feel the love.
Oh,
you? I mean,
oh yeah.
So speaking of love, we're talking about true love today. Number one, what is true love? What is real love? And does true love exist?
Oof. I mean, we're knee deep every day looking at pop culture, like what celebrities breaking up, like who's cheating? Like we just watched Vanderpump, you know.
But I'm saying, are you kidding me?
There's just this weird place of like fantasy and like the fairy tale, and then pop culture on the other hand just looks like everybody's disposable. So I'm a hopeless romantic. I want and I do believe that true love is very real.
Yeah.
I just think we live in distraction. So
for
much
sure.
Distraction.
Oh yeah.
More than ever. So yeah.
I think you're a wandering eye. I don't think you're as focused.
What?
I think you're shiny objects. Is that who you are?
Oh my gosh. Is this what we're doing today?
You see that six pack and you're like, oh shoot, look at that.
Ugh. Yeah. No, it's not me.
No, but you know what? Being like on the other side of that and have cheated on people before, like, it was actually hard to watch the finale for me. Seeing and the other thing too is if you see the episodes play out, you know, not to get too deep into Vanderpump, but like shout out to Lisa Vanderpump, by the way. I love her. Like
me too.
You know, it's so funny because, you know, in this media group and everything that I'm doing and obviously shout out to JoJo and everything we're doing with him and Katie and all, like I get to be in rooms with people you never would be, right? With what people, you know, especially here and anywhere else, I mean anywhere in the world would consider celebrities, you know? With the festival pieces and those types of things. So, but like, and it's funny because my sons always ask me like, if there's one celebrity that you would want to meet that you would be like, oh man, whatever. Right. And I'm like, There's not really. Like, there's nobody that's all, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like I always say, you know, to you, I say to everybody here, like, you know, famous people want to be normal. Normal people want to be famous. You
right.
know? And so I treat quote unquote famous people like they're my dudes, you know, or like my girl, like girlfriends, you know,
right.
like what's up? Like just talk to them normally. I don't sit there and fangirl, no, you know, whatever, anybody. So, but Lisa would be one just to talk to because she's like, she's very empathetic towards everyone.
Oh yeah.
Like she has the biggest heart.
Yeah.
And so, but like being on the other side of that, being the cheater, like, oh, excuse me. It was tough to watch because it was tough to watch Ariana because like, I don't care. Like you can, your argument can be both sides, right? Your argument can be that, you know, cause what, again, and it's what we see and what we, you know, what we don't know or whatever. But like, I saw a lot of comments about like the fact that she doesn't want to have sex and she doesn't want to do this and blah, 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 all this stuff, whatever else. And it's like, and then it was the quote unquote open relationship, but then it was more so, it's not really open, but like that one time with Lala in the backseat of the car, but mm-hmm. yet like Tom couldn't do his own thing. And so again, like not being in the relationship, I'm not going to pass judgment on anybody, but it was hard because the real feelings of like when she was crying saying, I would have died for you. I would have done right. this for you. I would have whatever. And those are the things that you take for granted after the fact, right? Because you sit there and it's the here and now, right? And it's like people are so enamored with the grass is greener, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, like what do you bring to the table? We talked about this before. Like, what do you bring to the table? What is it that like, do you drive nice cars? Do you make good money? Like, are you good looking? Like you're better looking than this person. Do you give me more love and affection than this person? Like, what is it that I'm not getting? Kind of, we talked about last mm-hmm. week, you know, it's like, oh, this person's doing something different. But in the end, it's like, it's crazy because whether Tom was happy or not, whether Ariana was happy or not, whether what, like just, you know, fill in the boxes, but just to see a person struggle, and I don't care, man, woman, indifferent, whatever, and watch them just kind of lay out everything, you know, just say, hey, like I was this, I, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. And again, I'm not saying that she didn't do those things or did do those things, but more so it was very emotional to watch.
But I think, you know, when I look at relationships, anytime they end, it's yeah. like when there's nothing to lose because it's lost, that's when like the real truths come out. And if you would have died for somebody or you shoulda, coulda, woulda, like, why wait until it's the breaking point to like show those cards?
Yeah.
So I think that's where like even resentment for a lot of people set in. It's like, you know, nice to know now,
yeah.
you know? So it's not that I'm heartless to it, but I think when we think about like, you can love people on so many different levels.
Yeah.
And we've said it before, like some relationships run more like a business where maybe there's like no passion, but there's a high level of commitment.
Yeah.
You know, just being faithful and whatnot. Like a lot of relationships I see that are long term aren't necessarily relationships that I want.
Yeah.
But in those moments when things are breaking down, like when you're watching a reunion and you see like the hardest part about entering a relationship with someone is realizing that you're taking on some level of responsibility for how they actually feel
yeah.
and experience the world around them. Like
yeah.
that's huge. On me, like that's
sure.
why even like in middle school it was hard for me to break up with someone and I think
yeah.
it's like firing people, you know,
for
I'm just saying, like, I don't know that it gets easier, but like on the flip side, if you never take that step or that risk,
yeah,
it's hard. Like I just think the hardest part about being the one that breaks something off, or like you said, if you're cheating, if you're the person that like makes that cut,
yes.
you know, and then you look back and go like, wow, I was responsible for all that emotion that I just saw on that person's face. That's heavy.
Yeah. So the and I guess from my standpoint was, if I look back, and I know people always say I'm super hard on myself and all this, and I'm like, it's, if you live the situation, you think differently, but you realize that your selfish decisions, if you will, your selfish actions at that time, because it is a right here, right now type of thing, because you're like, oh, I'm not getting this, right? Mm-hmm. But I realized 30,000 foot view that it was something that I was missing within myself, you know, that I was like, oh, you know what? I've got an empty part of me somewhere that I haven't healed. And so I'm trying to fill it with blah, right? Where, you know, if you have an addiction and you're listening to this, you know, do drugs or, you know, whatever it is, alcohol, whatever. It's like everybody has something. Right. Mm-hmm. Even like, God bless her soul, my Aunt Janice probably listened to this. She loves her 42-ounce commuter mug, you know, pop that she has every single day. I don't know how many she drinks a day, but like, and I'm not saying that that's obviously her addiction, but like, again, people have all their, and it's a safe place. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's your safe space. So you're like, oh, well, if I don't have this, like, how out of whack am I going to feel, or what, you know what I'm saying? Like, all those types of things. So, anyway, so getting into true love, I wanted to kind of read this definition. I got a couple different ones, but obviously, you know, Meaningful Life and Love Box and Google, you know, they all have basically the similar, you know, a similar thing, but they all say true love is a unique and passionate bond that connects you as a couple that wants the best for the other person, regardless of what that means for them. So if we kind of break that down, so one thing, and I want to kind of make sure we broaden the spectrum here to not just couples, because I feel like there's, and I've often shared this with you, is the level of love that I have for my children mm-hmm. has, and I hate to say this, has never been matched within an adult, you know?
Right.
So like, because again, and I'll just start off by saying this, to me, real love or true love, whatever you want to call it, real love for me is the love I have for my children, because that's 100% selfless. Like, there's right. nothing that you, there's nothing that is out there that you will not do for them.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, but like, and obviously we can get into today, like, what are the factors that why you don't, you know, break down these walls, or why you look at that other person and say, you know what, like, I necessarily won't, like, I'll give you 98%. I'll give you 99% or whatever else. But there's this that you do that I'm like, no.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, so obviously picking up off this, you know, a unique and passionate bond. Now, passion, right, can be so many different things, right? Because we talk about passion and purpose. And I feel like passion obviously can be sexually, you know, sure. sexual. So, and I feel like people put that right away to that, mm-hmm. you know, to the intimate part of it. But you could be passionate about, and fill in the blank, like if you're passionate in business, you're passionate mm-hmm. in whatever, like a foundation or whatever. So that means to me, passion in general means that you're like, you're willing to give that extra energy more so than something normal.
Yeah. It's the dedication to like their needs above yeah. your own.
Yes.
Like when you're passionate about seeing your kid have every opportunity, you know, you want to set them up for success. Like you're driven to that regardless of the cost of you.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. Like it's all about having a desire for someone else's happiness before you're thinking about what's in it for you. Passion doesn't always have to be sex.
Well, yeah. So, and then the right after that is the bond, right? So what is a bond, right? Like, I mean, so obviously I was sitting there thinking last night when I was looking through notes and stuff, like it, literally when you put bond in Google, they're like, it comes up with like bonding agents and all this other stuff. But what's funny about a bonding agent, this is, I kind of wrapped this in, was it was so much more like these two pieces of glue and this type of whatever. But like, what's funny is that how all of these bonding agents work, they can't work without the other piece. So none of them work by themselves. So again, like when I thought about that, I was like, huh, I'm like, it takes, no matter what, it takes two chemicals mm-hmm. for this to react and for this to stick together. Right. So then if you break that down, right, that means I can't, if I get, let's just, one of them was an epoxy. If I put too much of the hardener out and not enough of the other eight, right, then it could go too fast. Right. And then it doesn't make the correct bond that you need for the longevity of that bond. So I'm sitting there going, again, like in relationships, think about that. If I give you too much, right, and you're not giving enough, right, then that spark or that whatever can die out way faster, right?
For sure.
Because we're not giving the equal, you know, equal love, equal whatever. We don't have an equal bond together. So like that, it was really amazing to me. I think it was like a God thing. Like he yeah. put that up there because I was like, oh, okay, wow. You know, every single thing that had, you know, like you had to have these two parts mm-hmm. to make that bond. And then not only make that bond, but it specifically said, hey, if you don't get equal parts this to equal parts that, it we don't guarantee that it'll last, you know, 8 months to 2 years, lifetime guarantee, whatever.
And how often do we try to force past that? You For know, sure. like essentially what you're saying is there's a recipe to the yeah. success. Like I think sometimes, you know, people think, well, I'm so sexually attracted to this person that I'll just like skim past the red flag.
yeah.
You know, like it happens.
Sure.
Or, you know, we've
said I think we're in way more of a physical society than ever.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're all enamored with, again, shiny objects.
Right. So it's again, like you have a certain recipe. And I honestly, like we've said it both before, like we were both married young. And had I had someone point out to me, like, what is the real recipe or the requirements for yeah. the longevity? That would have been super helpful. Like how many times do we think like, where's the user's manual? Like where's the instructions yeah. to life? Or like, what do you actually, you know, check back with to know if you're making the right decision or the right assessment? Because sometimes we're like love drunk or we're so obsessed with the idea of what we want from the relationship. Like, you know, sometimes people get married because they're ready to start their own family. Yeah. Like, or to get out of the situation that they're sure. in. So the
situationship.
Situationships are complex.
They are.
But, you know, I can honestly say that the first, you know, when I got married the first time, I think I was at that place in my life where I was so willing to look past every gut instinct and red flag because I just wanted to do the next thing. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to have my own. And so I think when we talk about recipe and ingredients, like what I was willing to give was yeah. way more than, you know, the other side was willing to give. So it was completely out of balance. And to your point, the longevity wasn't there.
So, and obviously the next part of this is after talking about the bond, it talks about connecting, which we just talked about kind of like in general with what I ran into last night, all these, again, equal parts, right? If you will. That has to come together and it connects you. This obviously in most of them talked about being a couple because it related it to a, you know, relationship type of, you know, instead of just like relationships you have in general. But the next part is the part that kind of like it trips everybody up. And I think it tripped me up too as well. And it was like a connection, right? As a couple, but it's that wants the best for the other person, right? And so, like, I think everybody in the honeymoon phase, especially, right, we've talked about that. It's like when you jump into anything, you're almost willing to do anything because you're like, I want to make this person happy, right? They make me feel happy. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So it's like that. But then when the honeymoon phase is over, right, or whatever, that first period is over, it's like, okay, from there, now what am I doing? So, like, it's like, okay, now they're not making me as happy, right? They're not like up my ass 24/7, right? So then it's like, okay, so because of that, it goes back to the whole thing of the person who cares the least has the most control. It's like, okay, well, if you're drawing back from me, I'm going to draw back from you, right? And so then again, you get that pullback thing and you're like, all right, well, I'm going to back out of this a little bit because mm-hmm. what's the first thing we think about? Hurt, right? We think about hurt number I do. And so I sit there and go, all right, well, if I'm vulnerable to this situation, right, and you're not giving me whatever, right, you started giving me this from the jump, but then it slowly dissipated or it just got pulled away from me or whatever, you're like, well, man, I'm way out here and she's only 10% in, you know what right. I'm saying, or 20% or 30, whatever, you just add in whatever. But you're like, because of that, now I'm like, oof, you know what, like I'm really far out here in this water. And I'm out here and I'm like, man, I don't know if I can get in back into shore. She's over there like, oh yeah. I mean, I have this inner tube I can throw to you, you know, whatever else, but you know, I can only throw it so far. It's just, I mean, obviously the imagery is horrible, but, but at the end of the day, it's like, it is about, and obviously I definitely believe we live in a more selfish society now than we do selfless, but it's part of the definition, if you will. And it's about again, we talk about wants and haves, mm-hmm. you know, and in this statement and every statement that I, you know, read about true love or real love, it was about wanting the best for the person, not having to, you know, help them or having to get them to a place. It was all a want.
For sure. And I mean, how many times as soon as you sense that that balance is off, do you go into like, I have to do what I need to do to protect myself?
But so, see, you just change from a want to a have.
Busted.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. But that's exactly what you know what I'm saying? You yeah. just said, I have to go into this.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain or your heart or whatever, you know, part of your body has kicked in and said, you know what? This doesn't feel right. You know, this doesn't feel normal. Something's wrong. So now I have to, right? Retreat. I have to put up these walls. I have to over and over and over again.
Right.
But in the statement, if you're talking about true love, it talks about wanting, right?
Yes.
So again, in the bond, right? Back to the bond and 50-50, you know, 60-40, 70-30, however that works. It's like you both, because again, it says a bond that connects the couple, right? Two. So if it connects both of you, then you both have to want.
Oh, yeah.
Not one person has to want and one person has to have. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because if one person wants to want, one person has to have, that means one person's giving, one person's receiving, and that's it. You know?
Been there. Yeah.
I'm done like, that.
Woo, where was this?
So, yeah. So, I mean, you have something to say on that?
No, it's
like, oh, okay.
Whatever. No, it's interesting too, because obviously we kind of both dug into this from two different angles.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had mentioned like that initial like excitement or the honeymoon phase, and like people don't want to admit it, but new love is always easy. There's a lot of chemicals going, like a lot of fantasies, like you're thinking ahead.
I don't want to call it love though. Like that's the thing. We throw the love word around, the L word around so much. And so it's like new love, this, oh, they're in love. And blah, and I'm like, okay, tell me why you're in love, you know?
Well, I think the quote that was like fascinating to me, because you know, I love when you use the word intentional.
Yeah.
But it literally said, new love is easy. Lasting love is earned and requires intention. And the intention is to put that other person ahead of yourself, which I've been in relationships where I was the only one doing that. And it's a hard place to be.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, after you realize it over and over again, that's when it's stonewalling and withdrawal and personal protection. So it's an ugly disaster as it unfolds when you realize like you're not on the same wavelength. You're not genuinely and intentionally invested in the happiness of the other person.
Yeah. And I think too, with that, I mean, it's funny because once you get to that stage, it's too late, right? At that point, you're like, all right, well, you know what? Like at that point I'm figuring out and I'm finding out and I'm seeing. And again, it's like, it's kind of that unraveling thing. It's like, oh gosh, like now I'm kind of 30,000 foot view on this because I'm not in it. And again, like I loved how in the beginning you talked about like drunk love or whatever, like, you know, that type of thing. It's like you're infatuated or obsessed or whatever else. And it's like, because I'm not seeing these other key indicators that I'm like, ooh, you know what? That's a red flag, or that's a red flag, or this is whatever. And so because of that, then you're like, you know what? Like, oof, like not everything is what it seemed, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, my thought is too, like, again, what is your point of reference? Like when you're experiencing these feelings where you're like, I really think this is it, right?
Yeah.
It's all, if you think back to how young, you know, we both were when we got married, based on what comparison? Like you meet couples, or I've met couples that have been together since middle school.
Yeah.
And maybe that really was their true love, their one of one, their person. And that's just like the luck of the draw. But so many of us come through certain relationships where it's literally like you're getting beat up to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
Then every relationship thereafter, like you have more standards, you have more expectations, or you know what you're willing to give or, you know, not. So I think like for a lot of people, like it's really common to feel like you've been beaten up in the process where you do lose faith in the idea. Like, I mean, I grew up having a parent that after divorce, like my dad said to me, like, I'll never remarry.
Yeah.
Like that was, I gave it my all. Like that's what I had. And if it wasn't enough, then it's probably not meant for me. And so like to be seven and think like, wow, like that's a reality for some people. Like,
yeah. Like you're sitting at seven going, man, like how long are you going to be alive? and you're never going to have that person walk this earth with you. Because I am a true believer, even though being divorced twice, and I understand the decisions I made along the way, but I do believe that God made somebody to walk this, you know, like, and I'm not, again, I know where we're at with divorce rate. I know where we're at with everything that's going on. But again, I do feel like a lot of it's distractions, you know, mm-hmm. and then that causes people to shiny object, you know, grass is greener. I'm not getting this from this person, blah, 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 you know, fill in the blank. So, you know, the last part of it, which I want to touch before we get into any factors and all this type of stuff. And I wanted to kind of do the true love versus fake love, because I did write some notes for it. But the last part was when we talked about the best for the other person. And this was in almost every quote I saw. It was talking about being selfless, self-sacrificing, all like everything was like about putting them in front of you. Mm-hmm. Right. And it ends with regardless of what that means for them. Right. And so again, what does that say? In selfless, being self-sacrificing, whatever. That means that any of your wants, right? Not any of your haves and all that, but any of your wants are put behind theirs, right? And so their desires, their passions, their drive, their purpose, their whatever, like all of that is front and center in yours, in mm-hmm. your book, right? You're putting that first. So it's like, okay, you love mint chocolate chip ice cream. Well, I love chocolate chip cookie dough, whatever. I'm just, you know, and then it's like, okay, well, we only have $5 because we're college kids and whatever else. But, you know, I love you enough. We're just going to get mint chocolate chip because it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I'm taking it down to a really. Whatever.
But I love that. It is the little things too.
And so those types of things, like whether you like flowers in your house or you like, you know, notes or you like cards or you like whatever it is, it's like, again, being intentional, right? And I just obviously picked that up in the last however long, but I was like, man, whether it's being again, you could be listening to this and it could be with your kids. You could work a shit ton of hours, but trying to be intentional with the time that you have with your mm-hmm. kids, like that's one of the hardest things I deal with almost every night, right? And like even the boy's mom will say, like, oh, you know, like you know, you're always on your phone or those, you know, saying like, and people, mm-hmm. and not just her, but just other people in general, like a lot of people will say, hey, you do this or that. And until you realize that, like when your son's standing in front of you, trying to tell you a story, and then you look down at your phone and then you look up and he stops telling you a story and walks away.
Right.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like complete shit. Like and you're like, wow, like now I see it. Right. Yeah. Now I see like how, like where, and, but you don't want to get to that spot. Right. You want to be like, oh, you know what? I got, like, you can't do all that. You know, it's like, hey, you have to recognize it now, right? And if you're not recognizing it now, then it's like, oh, shit. Like, it might be too late, you know? Because then once they do move out, right? And I'm just talking kids.
Yeah.
And they're on their own and all that type of stuff. If it's a decision to go to your house or their wife's house or, you know, wife's parents or whatever else, maybe they're like, you know? I mean,
but it's to your point, like realizing your level of importance to someone is not just in the big moments. It's like the little daily actions.
For sure.
And you're the one that has like really ingrained in me. Like words are one thing.
Actions
you
are
can
another.
Say all day, like you're the most important thing to me. But if it's not written in everything
sure.
you do, then it's, you know, your trust is lost on that. So, and that's whether it's your kids or your partner, but.
And I'm starting to believe that if you can meet somebody in their lowest times, right? Seriously.
Yeah.
Why are you thought you're laughing?
It's true.
Oh, if you can meet somebody in their lowest times or in a mess or just whether it's a relationship, whether it's financial, whether it's whatever, like if you can take somebody and not sit there and say, what do you bring to the table? Right. Not what do you, whatever else. And it's more so just like everything about you is what I want. Right. And everything about you is what I want to put in front of me. Right. And everything that I do, like, I feel like for sure that's a recipe for success, or it could be a recipe for disaster because you're like, oh my gosh, like, they never come out of their mess. You know, they're always in it, you know? So, but anyways, getting off topic here, but yeah, so wrapping this whole thing up as far as what the actual definition is, you know, we talked about being unique, about passionate being that it doesn't necessarily mean to be sexual. The bonding, I love that bond part of it because everything that I read was two parts two parts bonding this and bonding that. And if you're not equal parts, then it's not, they don't guarantee the lifetime. They don't guarantee mm-hmm. the, whatever it is on the package for all these little bonding agents. That was the, one of the best parts. And then obviously wanting the best for the other person, regardless of what it means for yourself and that, you know, self-sacrifice, those types of things. Well, a couple of these notes I wrote was kind of this true love versus fake love, because I kind of look, I saw this fake love stuff and I'm like, what is all this, you know? But like, I kind of ordered them differently, but true love, I basically kind of ad-libbed, but it's always open and honest,
mm-hmm.
right? And why I said it's always open and honest is because the honesty never goes away, even when you're in a shit day, right? You're in the worst day ever. Something bad goes happens, whatever, in life. Maybe you screw up, mm-hmm. right? But it's about being open and honest and going to that person to say, hey, babe, like, I screwed this up, or, right. you know, like, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is whatever. But I feel like on fake love, I kind of wrote, like, you know, it kind of plays the games, right? Fake love, it hides their, you know, you hide your feelings.
Right.
It's, you're kind of giving a muted version of you. And then, you know, obviously you try to manipulate the emotions of the other person to gain the upper hand. Right.
Well, what you just said, though, requires so much level of safety. Like, if I really F up,
yeah.
I have to feel safe in your energy to admit
for sure.
that.
Yes.
So if I'm met with criticism, I'm never going to stay open.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So some of these things are conditioned, you yeah. know, through the relationship.
But I think if you're open and honest, no matter what, right? If you're open and honest, I'm gonna burp. open and honest, like, throughout anything. And that, again, like I said, whether you're mad, sad, indifferent, I talk about this with God all the time about, like, you know, if somebody's like, oh, you know, you say you follow God, but you do these actions and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? God also says to me that, like, cast all your cares at my feet, you know? So it's like, I want to hear from you if you're mad, sad, indifferent, happy, right. whatever. Right. So in the same thing, I feel like if that's God's love, right, then when I have true love or real love, I feel like the level that God loves me, I'll love that person, right? And so, therefore, again, being open and honest with them throughout everything, as bad as it gets, right? Because, again, on the fake love side where I sat there and said, A, you kind of just kind of, I said play games, but you dance around, right? Because you're like, you know, it's like, I don't want to give you everything, you know? I'm going to give you a muted version of me so that you don't know all of this or whatever else, but, like, the problem is for me is truth always comes out. Like, truth right. is always comes out. Like, especially, like, I hate to bring it up, but when I cheated, like, it always would come out. I don't right. care what you're doing. And so, but then the second part of it was when you try to manipulate the emotions of the other person to get the upper hand, like, that's such a big part of that, because if you think about emotions on the true love side, on the real love side, you're sitting there saying, like, I might be giving you the upper hand because I'm showing you my entire vulnerable state.
Right.
But by muting myself, by doing whatever, that is a form of manipulation, and it's kind of a placement, right? I'm placing myself here so that I can have the upper hand, and it is manipulating, you know, that other person overall, because I'm saying, hey, I'm not going to give you all of me. And because of that, like, if you sit there and give me all of you, then, and you're more vulnerable to me, then I can hold A, B, and C up here and be like, well, yeah, remember I told you, like, I went through all this, but you went through all this, and oh my gosh, and right. did it, you know, whatever. And
but that's, how often is, like, your level of disclosure, like, what you're willing to be open about is yeah. based so much on the safety. Like, yeah. you know, so many people withhold certain information because of trauma response, because yeah. previous relationship, or even just how they grew up. So it's like, if that level of safety and trust that, like, no matter what I throw at your feet, you're not going to run away or criticize, like, if that's not established, mm-hmm. you're never in that place where you can be fully open. So yeah. unfortunately, you know, like you said, some people do it as a manipulation where they're just giving you the version that they feel secure that you'll accept.
Yeah.
And they withhold certain details because they're scared because of what's happened before.
Yep.
Other people are doing it to manage your emotions. And so it can be super manipulative, but it could also just be that person has never felt like you haven't done that groundwork, that yeah. foundation to create that safety.
Phew. No doubt. Here on Cancel Culture Podcast, we're talking about true love. What is true love? And does true love exist? I'm kind of going through this list of true love versus fake love. I kind of my second point, and I didn't actually like number these as this is whatever, but going back to the, because I saw everything was selfless, self-sacrificing, all that. So I just wrote true love is, and I filled it in the blank, self-sacrificing, selfless, you know, their needs before yours, all that type of stuff. And I put like on the fake love side, fake love to me only wants what it wants.
Right.
Right. And so what do I mean by that? I mean that it only wants what it wants when it wants it. Right. So that means like, okay, not right now, I want all this from you. So I'm going to give you this much. I'm going to give you as much of me as what I want from you. Right. And so therefore, again, it's like, I'm not always going to put myself out there. Right. I'm only going to give you 75%, but that's okay because I want 75% back from you. Right.
Conditional.
It's all conditional. Absolutely. Because there's, again, where love is unconditional. Right. Where, again, self-sacrificing, being selfless for someone, that means you're putting, again, your needs and wants behind theirs. So, but on the fake love side, I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? Like, I'm going to give you only the part I want to give of you or of me to you. So, but, you know, and it can go the other way where you're sitting there going, I'm only going to give you X amount of me, but I want all of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's going to wither out really quickly.
But don't you, I immediately think of like when we're so immature, like in your first real relationship, it's you might have a good intention wanting to like serve up the best parts of you.
Yeah.
Because again, your fear of rejection or fear of abandonment.
Yeah.
So I do think that a lot of these things come with maturity, which is probably why people say like, don't get married too young.
Right.
You guys are moving too fast. But I mean, I know I was guilty of that. Like, you don't want to show at all. You just like want to run with your character, your avatar.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. It's like when I talked about us being chameleons, like we can show up in relationships however we want to, right? And be like, oh, okay, hey, this is the version that you like. Well, then this is the version you're going to get, right? And then it's like, which obviously, again, plays into it's just a facade. But then when you move into a deeper part of the relationship or a more intimate part of the relationship, or i.e. you move in or you get engaged or you get married or whatever, have kids, like then it's like, man, all these things that I didn't see from you because we had two separate places or we had whatever else, or we only went on dates or whatever, like all that's shown right now.
Slaps
I'm showing
you
all
in
my
the
cards.
Face.
Exactly.
Shit, who like am I waking up with?
Right. The next point I kind of was about forgiveness. And I think that's like one of the biggest things about love. Obviously too, from a religious side, from God, you know, like he just always talks about like, how are you supposed to ask for forgiveness if you don't forgive others, you know? And so for me, it was like in a relationship, I feel like love in itself, true, real, whatever you want to put it in front of that word, just love forgives, right? And the other side, I put like love, fake love keeps a scorecard, right? Fake love seeks vengeance, right? Like it's because that's, it's like, and I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this 1,000% over because I'm like, look, I'm like, and I, again, I don't want to sit here and be like, you know, because, you know, those people exist in life, you know,
right.
That it was fake love, that was whatever. But I do want to say that, like, I have been that person that sits there and keeps a scorecard that I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I remember this. I remember that. I remember this. And like, and I've been the other side going, why are we bringing up something 3 years ago? But wait a minute, you're the one over here still talking about stuff three years ago, right? So again, it's like that whole back and forth, you know, whatever. And so, so those are the things that like on that point itself was to me, it was like, no matter what, like love in general, if you're in love, whatever you want to call that, real, true, whatever, it forgives because again, that's putting their wants or their needs or whatever you want to fill in the blank before yours. Right. So that's like, okay. And it goes back to my other point of the self-sacrificing and then always being open and honest. Right. If I'm asking for forgiveness or being in the person to forgive, right. We had a podcast about whether or not forgiveness is warranted. Right.
Right.
But again, in love, I feel like you're like, okay, you know what? Like love, no matter what, is forgiving. You know, like I know for me, like God was on a cross and literally like, you know, he literally looked up at his father and still said, hey, forgive these people who are doing this to me, right? That's how much love I have for you, mm-hmm. right? And so in the same thing in a relationship, in any relationship, if I think I would know, like, that's my real love for somebody when I love them the way God loves me and the way God loves, you know, like, it's just it's unconditional, you know?
I think that's like something that if you realize you can't give that, yeah. it's a great indicator that you're in a serving situationship.
Sure.
Not a relationship.
A serving.
No, because it is. Like, yeah. you know, people are getting a little bit of what they need and a little bit of what they want, and yeah. they try to push it out, but scorecards will eat your ass up. I've lived by one for a long time.
Jeez.
I'm just saying, no, yeah, like, it's toxic. Yeah. Like, if you're not going to let it go, it's a parasite.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
The next point, I promise I only have a few more, but
I like them.
This one really hits home for me because obviously I've talked about, like, whatever you want to call it, self-deprecation, whatever. Like, you know, I have a horrible body dysmorphia complex about myself. And it's just not body. Obviously, in body dysmorphia, if you look it up in general, like, it can also be a mental state of how you view yourself as a person, your, you know, all those types of things. But I wrote that love appreciates you for who you are, right? So, like, the person you see, but you have to go back to my very first point of being open and honest in who you are, right? And so here's all my mess, right? And I'm holding my hand out if you're not watching it. But I'm holding my hand out and saying, hey, like, here's my semi-truck behind me, right? Here's this 52-footer, 53-footer behind me. Do you accept all of this that comes with me? And then I wrote on the flip side that fake love or, you know, whatever tries to change you, right? And they try to mold you into their perfect, you know, whatever, avatar, if you will, right? So it's like, one, I accept you for who you are. The other side is, I don't accept you who you are, but I'm not going to say that to you, but I'm going to make you exactly what I want you to be.
How many people focus on the fantasy of the potential?
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
You fall in love with the idea, not the actual person.
But I think the people that are really trying to push for change in someone might feel like they're trying to inspire them. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that when you say, like, you can't change someone, I think people's reaction is like, I would never try to change someone.
I don't know about inspiration, though. I'm not inspired to change you into some. I mean.
No, I'm saying sometimes, like, I've been in situations where I'm like, I can see the potential in someone.
Yeah.
And I think, well, like, maybe if I do this, they'll catch the hint. Like, they'll feel somewhat compelled to improve in this way. And I realize now, like, that's incredibly manipulative and it's self-serving.
For sure.
To look at someone and think, well, I need you to be this way so I can love you better.
Well, and I think too, I think if you're sitting there trying to mold somebody, right, you're basically saying you're not the person I'm supposed to be with.
That's a hard reality.
No, I'm saying though, right?
Yeah.
Like, take yourself out of your current relationship, like anybody's relationship, mm-hmm. right? If you, and it's hard when you're in the relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're in a relationship and you're, whether you're married or engaged or whatever, like, it's harder to see this comment here, right? This statement, because you're in it right now.
Right.
But if you pull yourself out of it, right? Or the second you are out of it, because it goes south, then you're sitting there going, you know what? Like, I don't even know who I was. How many times have you heard people say that?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I've been in the same room with people that, you know, I was with, you know, and mm-hmm. said, like, I'm not the same person I used to be. Right. And you're going like, wow. So now when I, like, made these notes, it's like, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I molded them to be something else, or maybe I was trying to make them something else, right? Which is, again, the writing on the wall saying, you know what? You're not what I wanted to begin with. And I'm not, you know, what, like, vice versa, whatever. So again, if you're trying to mold somebody or make them something they're not, then that's not the person that you're supposed to be with. Because again, I feel like, too, as I went through these articles, as I've, you know, grown in this kind of, you know, growing phase I've talked about the last year or so, it's like I've realized that there's a lot of things that I've done to force the situation, if you will, right? And whether that was for my comfort or for what, you can fill in the blank, but it's like, wow, like you were a different version of yourself, and you also pushed a narrative, right, to somebody else that what obviously was totally unfair, but as well, it's like, okay, you know what? Like, I wanted you to be this, but you were never that to begin with, right? And, but what's crazy is when you pull yourself out, and if you're, whether you're on the other side of it or you are the person that's doing it, you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, like, if I look back at what just happened, right, then you're going, holy, like, man, I don't even know who that person was, right? Because that's not me. And that wasn't the, it was never me. I just played a character in a role of a movie.
Oh my gosh. I've been this person where I've cared enough or cared more about just making someone happy.
Right.
That you assume the avatar.
Yeah.
And like you said, everything that's done in dark comes to light. All the things come to the surface. But there are people that it may take decades. It might take 10 weeks. It might take 10 years. But eventually, you know, one person might be really happy and that you're playing into this role, but it can only go for so long.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I feel bad because it was from a good intention. Like my first marriage, I knew exactly, you know, the role he expected me to fill.
Yeah.
And I really tried to like want to be that person.
Yeah.
And it really was so conflicting for me that like that was what ate me up inside to the point where I'm like, I can't live my life like this.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are faced with the reality that they have for whatever amount of time just been trying to be in a position where they want the other person to be happy, and they think it's from a place of a genuine desire, like for what the definition of true love is.
Yeah.
But it can't be self-sacrificing.
Right.
Like that's the catch. Like,
and it can't be open and honest.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you are open and honest about who you are, you don't have to lose yourself.
And so I kind of made these notes from, even though they're not numbered, it was funny how like your mind breaks it down, because it all goes back to the beginning of being open and honest, right? And then as you go down the self-sacrificing and, you know, like the forgives and all that, like all of those have to fall in place again to come down to where we're at and saying, okay, well, like trying to conform somebody, that's not being open and honest with them, right? Like trying to manipulate their emotions by giving them half-hearted, you know what I'm saying? Like those types of things, like all fall together. They all have to work together. Otherwise, none of it works, you know?
Well, and the thing is too, like as you start to realize, like I'm not going to say the scorecard, but when you're in a position where you're really evaluating your relationship and you're like, why do I feel unfulfilled? Why am I, you know, whatever the fill in the word, wherever it's lacking, there's never a good point to be like the epiphany of like, hey, this isn't working.
Yeah.
So it may look insane when you shift the gear.
Yeah.
Because if you've played the role so well for so long.
Yeah.
How is it just one day that you're like, actually, this isn't working for me? You know, and it could be that all along you felt that you were communicating like little bits and pieces or showing, or maybe you felt like you were being transparent. But if it's not understood, if the connection isn't there, I've been in it and I've also seen it where it's like, again, no one can fully understand it if they're not in it.
Yeah.
But these little things are what nudge you until you finally are like, okay, like throw in the flag. So I'm picking up all this.
So I have some other points I'm going to skip over just because, you know, time as well. But, I wanted to skip to this one because this one, like, and I kind of just highlighted it like four times. I put like four asterisks next to it, but true love is freedom, right? Because I put on the fake love side is controlling, right? And what do I mean by that? So I'm not talking about like checking up on each other 8,000 times. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, you can break it down to everything, again, goes back to the first point, right? Controlling is controlling the narrative, controlling the emotions, controlling, you know, their behavior, controlling the outcome, control, like, just, you can fill in the blank all the way down. And it can break down to every day. It can be controlling the finances. It can be controlling the, you know, their friends. It can be controlling whatever. Like, oh, no, you can't do a girl's trip. No, you can't do a guy's trip, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you, if you're listening to this, it doesn't take your man or your woman to go to Miami or to go to Vegas or to go to LA or to go to Greece or to go to where, just fill in the blank, to have sex with somebody. Okay? They can cheat in their car. Wherever, in the garage parking lot, or, you know what I'm saying, like parking garage or whatever, garage parking lot, anyways, so yeah, parking garage, or where, I mean, again, you fill in the blank, they go to a hotel, they could go, like, there's, you don't have to go anywhere,
right,
to get those types of things done, right? And I know, because I know people who do it, you know? And so it's like, again, I'm like, that's not like, we get so hung up on, no, you can't go with that guy. No, you can't go with this, whatever. But that's also, again, that's controlling in a couple aspects, because it's one, you're sitting there saying, like, no, you can't do it because I don't trust you.
Right.
Right? You're not saying, because, like, I've had so many times, especially, like, I have friends of mine that their wives would say, no, you can't go to wherever with John Michael. What? Well, why? Because I don't trust him. Well, if you trust them, then why does it matter about
exactly.
me? Right? That
yeah.
doesn't mean anything. Like, that's not, so what you're saying is you don't trust them enough because you think I would have so much of an influence on them
right.
that they would cheat, right? Right? And believe me, there's nobody out there, man or woman, right, that's going to have so much influence on somebody that they're going to automatically just cheat because
yeah.
they sit there and fill in the blank, right? So, because if it's in there, it's going to come out.
They're going to do what they want to do.
They're going to do what they want to do, right? And so, again, it's like, and so, again, and controlling, like I said, finances. Like, you could be one of those people that are like, oh, whether you're the breadwinner of the family or not, you could be the one sitting there saying, like, you know what? Like, if I, and it could be twofold. Maybe you're a huge budget person, right? And you're like, no, we can only spend X amount on these specific things, right? Because I know it won't work out, you know? And so this is what we have to do, right? Or it could be the other way of, I, you know, you're going to be a slave to me, or you're going to be a hostage in this relationship. And the longer I can hold on to this and everything else of that sort, I'm, you know, you can't do anything without me, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there, and that's where, you know, on the financial piece. But to me, again, the real love, true love, I just wrote love in general, is free. It's freedom. It's again, being able to be open and honest. It's being able to forgive. It's being able to do all that. It doesn't necessarily have to be the controlling aspect that people think controlling is, but it's being like, hey, you know what? Like, I've had a bad day today. I've had this, or I did this, or blah, 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 you know, or I forgive you no matter what, right? I look at you. I accept you for who you are. You know, I don't care what kind of mess you have. I don't care what, you know, baggage you have, whatever else, I will love you, you know, unconditionally, right? And that is power and freedom. That's freedom, because you're basically telling that person, you don't have to control your own emotions. You don't have to control your this or that or whatever else. Like, you can be open and free with me 24/7, 365, you know, no matter what, as long as we live.
But two people being allowed to be their genuine self and naturally taking into consideration the other person ahead of themselves,
yeah,
it's the formula. Like, if you
yeah.
have sacrificed who you are because you care so much for someone else, it's never going to last.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the research, it's there.
Yeah.
But what you're saying exactly is, like, the thought of, I can be me, but my first thought is we.
Yeah.
Like, how does this?
I can be me, but the first thought is we. I love that.
Oh, it's a slogan.
You're a poet and didn't know it.
It's a jingle. No, I mean, I think that it shouldn't have to be forced.
Yeah.
I think that true love, like, naturally, that's where your mind goes. Like, that should not be something that someone has to remind you.
Yeah.
It has to be woven through every action. Yeah, of course, people want to hear it. Like, I'm not saying don't be vocal, but you're your actions are going to prove time and again, like whether you are operating as an independent.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people in relationships that are acting super single, and I don't mean infidelity. I just mean it's about them.
Sure.
And how they, like, they are experiencing life.
Yeah.
Was that your last point?
Nope.
I want another one.
My last one's going to drop some bombs on everybody.
Oh, gosh.
I wrote love listens.
Mic drop.
And I wrote fake love only talks or only speaks or whatever else. And so what did I mean by that? I meant because, and you brought up earlier, I've been, you know, harping on this intentional, being intentional, right? And again, I'm talking from a man, a person that's been on the other side of it that has just talked and not listened whatsoever. But again, I feel like I will be at love or real love or true love when you can just sit and listen. But if you're out there and you're in a relation or a situationship, I love that. But and think about the everyday whatever, right? The interactions that you have, whether it's sexual, whether it's just talking, whether it's just, you know, on the phone or dates or whatever, like think about the interactions that you have with that person and, you know, is it about me, right? Was our first conversation at the end of the day, like I went through all this, all these things happen to me, right? Or is it, you know what, Carly, like, and you don't even say it. You don't have to, you don't preface it, because if you preface it, then you're putting it out there.
You're just forcing it.
So you just sit there and you go, how was your day? Right? I could have had the shittiest day in the world, right? But you say, how was your day? Right? And you, whatever. Or, you know, oh, you had a really bad day? Okay, tell me. Right? And, you know, oh, maybe one step further is, do you want my opinion or do you just want to vent and I'll just be a sounding board?
That's right? Love.
And that's, without giving your opinion, without giving your thoughts, without giving or whatever, unless you're, you know, asking for it, mm-hmm. unless you're saying, hey, I want this specifically. But that's where I was sitting there saying, like, love in general listens, right? And why do I say that? Just because literally, again, that's in the definition of true love and real love is putting their wants before yours, right? Putting their needs before yours. I added the needs part, but it's like, okay, your need at the end of the day of having a horrible day or whatever, fill in the blank, this happened, right? Is to have that person that you're 100% vulnerable to, that you're open and honest, that forgives you at every turn, right? That appreciates who you are, will sit there across from you or hold on to you or whatever it is and say, let me hear. Let me just sit here. I'll sit here and listen to everything you have to say, right? And maybe it's not words. Maybe it's tears. Maybe it's just I need to sit here with you and feel, you know, you holding me so that I feel one, that I feel protected, that I feel whatever, and fill in the blank. But it's like maybe it's not that you're just listening can be feeling. Listening can be, you know, touching. Listening can be just literally just receiving, right? And maybe I should have put that. Maybe true love is receiving. Maybe true love is listening. Maybe true love, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you can fill in the blank all the way across. But again, on the other side, the fake love, if you will, is talks, right? The fake love is woe is me. The fake love is everything happens to me, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's all, you know, like whatsoever. You're laughing. but that, and I just, and that kind of also, to me, I had an asterisk and an arrow back to the controlling piece because it's like you're also controlling the narrative because if you're the one speaking all the time,
right?
You can't understand their feelings. You can't understand their emotions. You're not allowing them to be free because the narrative is always about you.
And the thing is, like, if you're not allowing them that same place, because, you know, you're going to have seasons where it might be about you for a while. You might be the right one going through it. And it doesn't have to be equal every day.
Yep.
But that's their opportunity to learn about you. And if you're hoping to continue growth in a relationship, you have to be willing to show those wounds, to put it out there, and to allow them to learn about you. Like, that should be a deep-rooted desire,
yeah,
I think, yeah, in true love, is like genuinely like, let me learn about you. How else am I going to love you the right way? Or at least love you in the way that you actually feel it, yeah, not in the way that I want to give it. So I think that, like, all of that, yes, you're going to have times where it's all talk about you, and that's where you disclose things that are important. But if they're intentionally listening, the goal would be that you don't have to repeat these things over and over, because they actually like learning it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times are we as women, we're nagging, like she talks about the same shit all the time. People don't repeat things if they feel heard.
Absolutely. Or like, obviously you've healed, right?
Right.
There's a healing part of that. And if you've been heard and you feel healed, right, then obviously then you're not going to regurgitate, or you're not going to go back to that, right? But obviously you feel like it hasn't been dealt with. So again, like you said, you haven't been heard, right? And you feel like, oh, well, you think we dealt with that because you talked your way through it, right? You didn't listen, whatever, you know, you didn't hear what I had to say, because obviously if you heard what I had to say, you would know that I'm still bothered by it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
If you can't recognize I'm pissed off, you don't know me at all. I mean, like, who hates that feeling?
Oh, for sure. Like, everybody.
You're not just giving the silent treatment because things are great.
Well, here on Cancel the Culture Podcast, we're talking about what is true love, and does true love exist? And so that's the last part of this. I wrote at the bottom of this. Does true love exist? Is it real? What's your take on that?
Well, I already said, like, I 100% believe it's real.
Yeah.
Like, I think that as human beings, even like nerded out science will show you that.
Nerded out science.
I mean, like, we are wired for, yeah, primary connection. Like, yeah, anybody that studies brain, human patterns, like all of these things, we are wired for a one-of-one relationship.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there are probably people listening that are in open relationships or situationships that are working for them at the moment, but longevity always states that humans, whether it be from child to parent or from like spouse to spouse, mm-hmm, you're only able to be 100% vulnerable, 100% ability to grow and acceptance and all the things that we've talked about,
yeah,
when it's a primary connection. And I love that idea. Like, I too, like, you see it time and time again in main religions, but I will speak to like Christianity. Like, we're not intended to do all this alone. Like,
sure.
So I do think that a lot of people have the hope, and they, they're like, well, I'm 30 and I want to have a kid by 35, so this guy will work. Yeah. I mean, it's sad.
Or you have a child with them and then you're forced into a or you feel that you're forced into a marriage or a relationship or whatever else. And that's, obviously I've seen that 1,000 times. Then everybody's like, man, we're really not in a good place. Well, but we got married because we had a kid.
And how many times are people guilted into staying in relationships because, you know,
yeah,
but this is where I think cultural factors are so influential. Like, mm-hmm, I think as Americans, like, we're inundated with ideas in every reality show, with every movie, that it is very much about us.
Yeah.
And it's very much like that hype girl mentality of like, well, if he's not doing this for you, like, I just think it's really toxic,
sure,
to be in a place where you're looking at people like, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
But it's celebrated, and, you know, in our society. So when we were talking about like recipes and factors of like, you know, yes, I think true love is real. And if so, there's actually like factors, mm-hmm, you know, that I wish I would have known, mm-hmm, or had as a point of reference, which we already talked about, mm-hmm, intentional, but top rated is emotional connection. Mm-hmm. And we've talked before about love language. And so one of the quotes that really like stuck with me is, emotions aren't a love language, mm-hmm, but they are the language of love. Mm-hmm. And so if you are not able to be emotional, mm-hmm, on a deeper level, it doesn't matter if someone learned you enough to know your love language or to know what boxes you need checked. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that emotional compatibility,
yeah,
it's never going to have a longevity. Do you agree?
I do.
So if you've never experienced it, you don't even know if it's real.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like, I think so many of us operate from what we've experienced or what has been modeled for us. Mm-hmm. So I'll speak for it. If you didn't grow up in a home where two parents were together and loving and working through, you only see certain things on TV, and that's where you build your fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, that can be a really bad recipe for a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it's hard when your perception is skewed by what has been modeled for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think this is where we have to like figure out like what's required. So to kind of bypass some things, I think it's important to understand like accessibility is huge. So we've talked about emotional availability,
mm-hmm.
but accessibility to know that when you need to be connected, when you're in that moment of panic or distress, that the person who is your person
yeah.
will put you first and will be available, even if you're across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of us have that. It's conditional.
This, are you saying these are the factors of being?
These are factors.
That you think, this is why you think true love is real?
It's not why I think it's real. It's how I think you assess if that's what you're experiencing.
Right. But what I'm saying is I'm asking just the simple question of, is true love real? That's all I'm asking. So you think it is?
Yes.
Okay. That's all, no.
Yeah.
Because you were like starting to go into like a whole
nother. Oh,
and I was
no.
Like, well, I'm like, is this part of the answer?
No, I unveiled that at the beginning.
I was like,
this is long-winded.
I was like, where are we going with this? No, you're okay. No, I'll summarize mine. your face is everything. I looked up some things that like from a man's perspective, right? What does true love supposedly look like, quote unquote, from a man's perspective? And I wrote these things down, and it was more so, these were general statements. He stops flirting with other women, right? He doesn't pay Ooh. Attention to his phone when he's with you. He does the little things, right? The flowers, the candy, the notes, those types of things. Pays attention to you when you talk, right? Mm. Intentionally, right? He shows interest in your hobbies, those types of things. But then, again, the one I asterisked, which you always say about me remembering everything, was he remembers the little things, right? So anyways,
take
here on
Cancel
the Culture, right? Here on Cancel the Culture podcast, we literally just hit everything and anything. But we talked about what is true love and does true love exist? And Miss Carly over here, the good vitamin C, said she totally believes it. I do believe that true love or real love or love in general is real. I obviously definitely feel like I've experienced it. But again, the truest, purest form of love, I go back to religion and go back to God and saying that, he is 100% selfless for us no matter what, right? And if I can love somebody the way he loves us, then without a doubt, I feel like that's real love, right? But at the end of every podcast, we cancel one thing each. And are you going first or am I going first?
You.
Yeah, you think it on me each
Don't
time.
Don't ask me.
Sheesh. Man, I'm not going to give you the whether you can do it next week or not. I'm just going to be like, you're on the spot.
Got it.
No, but then you get prepared for it. Let me think here because I'm looking at all my facts. But without doing that, if I want to cancel something, I want to cancel the notion that every single person that you, or every single relationship that you've encountered or that you're in, you might be currently in, those types of things. And I'm talking about couples in general, and I'm talking about marriage, that everything is love, right? It can just be fun. It can just be a situationship like you talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can just be meeting those people. And it could just be a phase of your life, right? And I'm not saying you can have fun and you can do all these things, but I guess what I'm going to cancel is the seriousness of it, right? If you don't think that it's love and you don't think that it's something to pursue, that's okay. You don't have to put a name on it, right? You don't have to tag it as something specific, right? You can just say, hey, we're having fun, right? Hey, we're just together. We're just enjoying life together, whatever else. But what's funny about that is some of those situations turn into the best love story of all times. Because it's a thing of, oh, well, we were best friends first,
right?
And we didn't even think about love. We didn't even think about being together. We didn't even think. We just experienced life together. And then when I realized then when I couldn't have that person anymore, I was like, there's no way I can walk through life without them. Right? And that's really the catalyst here is it's like, I think that for me, it's like if I'm in love, A, I feel like I have to love them the way God loves us. And that is 100% unconditional, right? There's nothing that you can do that I'm going to turn away from you. And whether you're mad, sad, happy, indifferent with me, whether you're yelling at me or you're kissing me, I still love you the same, right? And on the flip side, it's like, if it's not love and I'm just having a situationship with you, that's okay. I'm not saying go sleep around with everybody, all that type of stuff. What I am saying is you can enjoy life. You can enjoy those people's company without having to say we're getting engaged, without having to say we have to, whatever. There's a timeline on it. Yes, life is short. Yes, you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. But I guarantee you that, you know, the whole carpe diem and all that, whatever, like live for today, right? You have to live for today, right? Because we don't, again, I could go to sleep tonight and not wake up tomorrow. But what I will tell you is that in your situationship, in your couple relationship, in your marriage, in your whatever, like make sure that when you go to bed, that that person knows every single thing that's on your heart before you stop talking, right? Like before you shut your eyes and before you lay down and you don't say another word, make sure that you know without whatever, right? 100% certainty that everybody around you knows their place with you, right? I love you, I this, I whatever, blah, blah, blah. So that, you know, if you didn't wake up tomorrow and they're at your funeral, they're like, man, you know what? I know that JM loved me without a doubt. I know that he would have done anything for me, right? It wasn't about the money he made. It wasn't about this, it wasn't about that, it wasn't about this, whatever else. It was about the fact that he always poured his heart out for me. He always did this. He would give his shirt off his back. I mean, it's not to bring him up, my grandpa Conroy was that way. Like his, literally everybody and their mother that showed up to his funeral was like, he could have had one tool in the shed, and if you needed it, he'd let you borrow it.
I love that.
So go ahead.
That's a hard one to follow because I have to amen all of those points. So I honestly, I'll keep mine kind of broad, short, and sweet. But I think if you're assessing whether
you get broad and short,
no. broad topic, I guess. Yeah, go ahead. I think that if you're assessing whether you are experienced or experiencing or in a situation of true love, mm-hmm. it's important to understand that if it hurts you,
yeah.
or if it prevents you from being the best version of yourself,
yep.
that's your indicator. Like, I think that's a hard call for a lot of people because a lot of us really desire and we want the one of one and we want the whole love story. But if we're continually struggling with being out of alignment, being asked to be a character that we're not, or to live in a box that we weren't designed to be in,
yeah.
like we're literally shortening our experience and potentially even the way that we were created to impact others.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's never going to be easy, but I think that you have to have a realization that it's always a required assessment.
Yeah.
Because if something is not feeling right, like those gut instincts are there for a reason.
Yeah.
So I'm canceling the idea that in order to experience love, you have to sacrifice yourself.
I love that.
The end.
Well, here on the Cancel the Culture podcast, we talked about true love. Whether it's what is true love and whether it exists. And I think we found out today that true love does exist. And it's okay if you're not in love. It's okay if you're out there just doing your thing. Just don't be a whore. No,
oh my gosh.
Dee 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 dee. If Blake's listening. No, it's. Anyways, for Carly Price, I'm John Michael. This is Cancel the Culture podcast. Thanks for listening.